Hi, my name is Pooja Apana, and I'm continuing my conversation with my friend Sienna. And for the last time for season one, welcome to Woodside Lane.
School, we had a little like poetry and like art magazine thing that at my high school not a lot of people read, but one of my friends like helped edit it and put it together every month, and they were lacking submissions, so I submitted one of my poems, which like sometimes would turn into a song. Mm-hmm. Same thing, just without the music part. I submitted one of my poems, not thinking anything of it. It was also really old. It had nothing to do with anyone. Yeah. And at this high school, I had just arrived as a junior in a grade of like 400 people. People did not know who I was, except for like my six friends, which I was fine with.
Right.
And then it was so weird that following week, I walked into school. I was walking down the hallways, and people who I did not know knew how to read were like, had this poetry in front of them. I was like, oh, that's so nice. Everybody is like reading the poetry magazine. Like, my friend is gonna be so happy because right. Nobody ever reads it. Like, there's so many just lying around. But it was like a weird amount of people. And I like thought people were looking at me, but usually they were anyways because I wore really ridiculous clothes to school.
The hairstyles, clothes, come on.
Yeah, exactly. No, I dressed like that to school. I'm sure people thought I was crazy, but nobody said anything to me about it. Somebody came up to me, though, like, with the book. It was one of my friends on my track team who I had never seen read in my entire life and was it showed me my poem, and I was like, why are you reading that? Like, I didn't know you liked poetry. He was like, is this true? Blah, blah, blah. I was like, what? What? And then I realized everyone was reading it and thought I was like, my significant other came up to me later and was like so upset, had like been crying or something. It was like, why would you publish something like this? I was like, I don't understand. It was really like not specific at all, mm-hmm. This poem. It was so not specific. And I was so confused. I read it over and I was like,
was this poem about, it was something in the past, or was it like just really about a feeling?
Literally completely made up. And it was so like, it like had nothing to do with real life.
You played all. Songs for him in front of his face that were about him.
Exactly. And this now, was the yeah. thing. This was it. So apparently like, someone in a different classroom, one of my friends told me this later, like, my high school was really chaotic. I don't know what yours was like, but somebody in some other class, like, read it out loud. I was like, what is going on right now?
True, mine was too. Like,
it was also, like, people that I didn't realize, like, even knew my name. I was like, I didn't even know that you knew who I was.
Just the power of like, the high school.
Like, what? Yeah. No, exactly. I was like, this is crazy, because I didn't realize that people perceived me before.
But yeah, even though we perceive everybody, even though I perceive everybody, I think no one perceives me.
No, exactly.
So I'm shocked when people know who I am. I'm like, what?
Yeah, but it was especially yeah. for me at this like public high school. I really thought I like blended into the background and people just didn't know that I was new or anything, because the teachers didn't know I was new. When I like got lost my first 2 weeks of school, they were right. like, why are you lost? And I was like, I've never been here before. Like, I don't know where I am.
With your Harry Styles outfits just blending into the crowd.
I don't know how I thought I was blending into the crowd.
But yeah, oh my God, that's nuts.
That's when I was like, okay, people do read and listen.
Change the way you sort of wrote your music?
I think while I was still in that relationship, no. I would post like some songs actually on my current Instagram. When I got to college, I had two Instagrams. One was like my personal normal one, and one was my like music one that I like blocked half my school from whatever. Not because they were, like, finding it, just mm-hmm. because it made me more comfortable posting stuff, knowing that I wouldn't have to worry about the judgment of people that I knew in real life. Right. But eventually, like, I unblocked everyone once I got to the end of high school. Like, I didn't care anymore. And then I deleted my personal account and just have that one, mm-hmm. my music one, when I got to college. But yeah, did it change anything? It changed things a little bit because I realized people were definitely, like, listening and, like, thinking about how things applied to my life. And also, Niels, my boyfriend, like, when I would write songs, my current boyfriend, he listened to them. Yeah. So... It, honestly, like, it was kind of weird for me because he would, like, read into them a little bit too much. Mm-hmm. Like, at first I was with somebody who didn't read into them at all.
Right.
Then I was with somebody who, like, read into them so much that he, like, always thought I was angry at him or something. And I was like, no, I just need to, like, get my feelings out. Like, maybe we, like, had an argument or something and I was right. being really dramatic in my song. But that's not how I actually feel. Like, it's fine.
Right.
Like, we talked. You don't have to freak out. But yeah, or like I really liked writing songs about like made up scenarios because mm-hmm. I also like I'm a Swiftie and I like writing stories too right. that don't actually exist or putting myself in like a place in the past and writing from there now that I have like the knowledge of now. But that was kind of awkward because like he would maybe get upset if I was, like, writing from the past, and he'd be like, do you still have feelings for that person? I'd be like, no.
No, yeah. But I think also no, sometimes, yeah. like, it's difficult for people, especially in relationships and stuff when you actually really care about the person, to think about the idea of, like, yeah, sometimes you have to put yourself in those weird feelings, even though you might not necessarily feel them all the time, just yeah. for, you know, to create this, like, art that you're so passionate about. But... It's interesting because I think that's one reason I never really pursued music was because music was a safe spot for me. Like, mm-hmm. I think in high school, I think two friends of mine knew I wrote music. And even in college, I had a best friend who I legitimately told, like, last week, and I knew him for 2.5 years.
Wow.
So, that's interesting because I think if I was in your situation, I wouldn't be able to write anymore.
Yeah, I actually had that problem. I felt like I wasn't writing for a while. Like, we had to have a talk about it because I was like, I need to just, like, not be worried that you're going to get upset if I write something because it's a song. Like, sometimes you just have to assume that everything is made yeah, up yeah. and, like, over dramatic. But, like, if I'm worrying... that it's going to make you upset, then honestly, my songs are gonna suck. They're gonna be really bad. So.
No, that's...
Yeah,
that's
I really feel real. You.
No, yeah, it's just like... It's really hard, I think, to write, especially such deep and emotional things, and have it to disrupt your life, and then still feel free to do that.
I think for music especially, it's really hard because I started doing it, like, before even... It wasn't, like, a conscious choice. Right. I was just, like, singing to my family all the time. Like, you can find really horrible voice memos on my mom's, like, old iPhone from me when I was, like, 7, writing a song about, like, a snowflake or something. They're really bad.
I love that. Really
horrible. And also I feel like I've always liked performing, although I do not really do it that much.
Interesting.
I moved around so much, like, as when I was younger that I didn't stay in one school for very long, and I feel like if I did, I probably would have done musical theater, honestly.
Really?
But I never, like, had the chance to ever try any of the schools I was at.
Do you feel like you kind of are... We kind of talked about this a little bit before, but kind of just, like, going wherever the wind blows and seeing, like, exactly what your life is supposed to be. We kind of touched about this in the beginning of how in college people think that you need to have it figured out and at some point you need to be doing this certain thing. But it's not usually how it works.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think that's how you came to a lot of these things? Kind of just like trying new things and enjoyed it?
I've honestly, like, every time something new really interests me, I am hesitant to do a deep dive into it, even though I really want to, because I'm afraid that I'm going to be, like, too much of a jack-of-all-trades, like, Renaissance woman person that doesn't have, like, one specific thing that I'm, like, really, really good at. Just has, like, a bunch of, like, general knowledge of random things, you know?
Oh, so you don't like... Do you like that about yourself? You don't like it? Like...
I guess I think sometimes I like it, but sometimes I don't. Like, I wish I could just choose one a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I can't choose one. I've tried to, but... yeah, I can't. I'm figuring that one out right now, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's very similar to something I've experienced growing up. I was never really, really good at one thing. I was good at things, like, it's... but I was never so... Something never, like, rose to the top that I was like, oh, I 100% want to do this for the rest of my life, you know?
Yeah.
And that was always something I struggled with when I was younger, the fact that the whole plan of, you know, you go into a job, you work in that job for, like, 30, 40 years, and then you quit and retire, whatever. And that is also why I did so many different things, was because I just didn't like the fact that that was how my life was supposed to go. I found it really hard to choose my major, actually, when I came to school. I ended up doing it because it was definitely a security blanket, and it was also something that I enjoyed. But, that's interesting, because actually I don't mind too much being a jack of all trades. I definitely do have to reel myself in sometimes. Mm-hmm. I do agree with that sentiment, because sometimes it gets too overwhelming having to do, like, so many separate things and having to switch your brain constantly between all the separate things.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but it's also, like, confusing, I feel. Like, and it's funny because when I talk to other people, we all kind of come to the same sentiment of, it's just confusing.
Like, I always envied the people who had, like, a childhood best friend who, like, they lived next door to for their entire lives. Like, I used to be really upset about that. Mm-hmm. I'm not really anymore, because I feel like I still have some really, like, amazingly close friends anyways. Mm-hmm. But, like, I can't imagine what it's like having, like, a best friend that you can't remember a time when you, like, didn't know them, you know?
Yeah, I myself moved a lot of schools. I always lived in New Jersey, but I went from, like, a private school to, like, a public school. Or I switched from a private school to another private school to a public school. Then I moved towns to another public school. So even though they were all in, like, the same area, like, every time I had to, like, make new friends.
Yeah.
Right? And, like, obviously when you're so young, you can't really keep in touch with all your other friends before. So I think at some point when I started moving schools, I started, like, you know, doing, like, characters, right? Like, so I was at the school for, like, I think from, like, third grade to, like, sixth grade. So it was, like, maybe, like, 3-4 years, and I, like, wanted to be the girl that everybody knew, like, that everyone was friends with. Like, I wanted, that was in my popular phase from that point on, which is, like,
your popular phase,
like, what does that mean to be popular in fifth grade? Yeah, I don't know. Like, that really didn't,
no, I feel like fifth grade is when popularity is really strong. It has a hold on people.
No, literally, like, I won an award, and everyone in the auditorium chanted my name.
God.
You still, before you go to bed, every single night.
And, like, that is what I loved about it. And I was like, oh, my God, like, I'm the popular girl. Like, I love this, right? Turns out I fucking hated it. Because towards the end, when I had to move, it was, like, the worst thing. My entire world collapsed. Sixth grade, me just sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. And then I realized something that was interesting. I was a part of the popular group, but the reason that people chanted my name was because I was, like, the most approachable of the popular group. Like, they, like, everyone who I was friends with weren't actually, like, really my friends, which was interesting for me to think about looking back, because at that point in my life, it was, like, all... I loved it. I loved being a part of the popular group. I loved people, like, knowing my name and coming up and talking to me and stuff like that. But then I would notice, like, a couple of my friends would start hanging out without me. I would be, like, the last one to be chosen. Like, I was kind of, like, the filler friend, you know? And I guess that was my first reality check I've ever experienced in the sixth grade. But understanding that just because someone thinks you're popular and you're getting all this external validation doesn't mean that that's what it's actually like when you're, like, in that position, right? Because I would kind of justify it with, like, oh, but, like, everyone loves me. So, like, why do I feel like this? Like, why do I feel left out when literally I have an auditorium of people chanting my name? But, so, yeah, I guess, like, every move, it was, obviously, it wasn't great, the fact that I had to move constantly, like, schools. But every move did kind of inspire a different phase in me. And then after that, I started winning authentic friendships. But I also think it was cool because I got a lot closer to my brother. Like, me and my brother are two peas in a pod. And I think it basically was because of all the instability that I experienced with the friends. You mentioned that you were close to your siblings, right?
Yeah. I think moving a lot does, like, help with that, even though it's, like, not the best way to help with that. But, like... I feel like I've seen that, like, families who move a lot, like, the siblings are always close. It makes sense because, like, who else do you freaking have? But, I mean, I, what you were saying, too, like, I relate to that. I don't think I ever had my popular phase, though.
My God, the most ridiculous popular phase. I look back and I'm so embarrassed. Like, I'm so embarrassed. Like, I look back and I'm like, why do you have, like, oh, my God, you're not, this is not it. Like, my outfits, like, everything, I'm so embarrassed.
Honestly, like, maybe I would have had one. I feel like I was blissfully, like, unaware of, like, social hierarchies for too long. So that's probably why I didn't have my popularity phase.
I watched too much Hannah Montana, so.
Okay, well, that makes sense. But yeah, I also, like, used to be jealous of that person who had, like, the lifelong codependent bestie thing, where, like, you had one person who you were like, that is my best friend, and you knew that they would say the same thing for you. I never, like, really had that, but pretty early on, I also was like, I feel like I don't need just, like, one best friend. I feel like that's not reserved for, like, one person. Yeah. I feel like you can have a nice circle of best friends. And I honestly feel like that's better because, like...
I mean, relating back to the idea of change, too, right? If you're with one person for a long time, your change is dependent on whether they change, right? For me, it was easier for me to change and to evolve and to become different people because I didn't have that one person who was consistently by my side.
Yeah.
Did I have super close friends? Yeah, of course. Like, I'm still friends with, like, a couple people from high school who are, like, still my very best friends. But I'm also kind of happy that we kind of went to different schools.
Yeah.
Because then I had the opportunity to really change. And, you know, not having that one person opens you up to the opportunity of, like, wait a second. I'm super close to this person now, and I like that about them. I like specifically that, and I want to try that. Versus, like, I feel like if you have someone beside you, it's, like, it's more of a kind of, like, deliberation between the two of you, right? Yeah. It's kind of more dependent on the other person.
Also, like, everyone, obviously, is different. And so, like, I've always found it difficult to, like, compare my closeness with, like, once you get in, like, a certain amount of closeness with me, like, you can't compare friendships at that point.
Oh, you can't.
Your relationship with people is going to be different because, like, you have a very unique dynamic because you're very unique people. And so after like that became very clear to me, I was like, I will never have one like single best friend because that just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, same. I think also because I did move around so much and I kind of reinvented myself multiple times. Mm-hmm. There's still like a little, it's not like I reinvented in that part of me before it just like totally disappeared. You know, it was like a little part of me was always there. So now I feel like I'm this human being that is like a culmination of like different periods of time in my life. So with one person, I may love talking about, you know, we may talk about music all the time, but then with another person, fashion, or another person, like, I talk about growing up in the suburbs in New Jersey because he relates because he grew up in the suburbs of a different country, of Utah. Mm-hmm. So, like, the fact is that, like, I still, like, when I reinvented myself, it was just more of, like, me trying new things and then taking what I like about it and making it part of myself. So that's also why, like, I consider myself to have a best friend for each part of my life.
So, kind of regarding what drives you, I feel like this is revealing about most people. What do you think about before you go to sleep or when you're trying to fall asleep at night?
Yeah, so it actually used to be different. I'm going to explain why. So recently, actually, my life changed, like really, really recently. A really close friend of mine died, actually, like a couple months ago.
I'm sorry, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, it was extremely hard. It was probably, it was like he was my best. If I ever had a best friend who wasn't like my brother, he was it. Like, we met second day of NYU, and was just, he was basically the person who I was with every day. Like, he was in business classes with me. Like, we were in the same classes. We would kind of be like two peas in a pod, except when I would go hang out with my other friends. That's kind of how it happened. Like,
yeah.
Like, I would go hang out with my other friends, and like, after I was done, I would like call him and we'd talk about it. Or, like, if I was like bored, I'd be like, all right, can you come over and we can just like, I don't know, do homework or whatever. So it was really nice. And he was like that person for me. It changed a lot when he died, for sure. Mm-hmm. Before, I guaranteed I didn't think about jack shit. I guaranteed I didn't.
Was you just went to sleep.
I would just like go to bed thinking about what I had to do the next day, basically. Just kind of like preparing what I had to do for the next day. Not even like really just like thinking about the drama, or honestly, like probably thinking about some conversation I had with a friend that day. After that happened, I spent a lot of my days extremely sad, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not a sad person. I just don't like it. It makes me feel icky. Obviously, no one likes to feel sad, but like...
Yeah, no. I know what you mean.
I especially hate it. And I started doing this thing where before I went to bed, I thought about everything that I was grateful for. You know, I would, because usually at some point, like after when I was going to bed, I was like thinking about how sad I was about this. And also there was other stuff going on in my life that just wasn't great. Like everything felt like it was collapsing. Like it's like when he died, it was like, boom, everything was like in shambles, right? So I guess that was like my one little moment of the day. And I still do it now because, you know, obviously not 100% over the grieving process. I don't think you really kind of ever let go of the grief, but I'm kind of really like getting out of it like super recently, you know, and getting back to my life. But now I make it a purpose before I go to bed to think about things I'm grateful for. And then I usually wake up feeling 10 times better because it makes me think of everything. And even if it's something super simple, even if I stayed home and like did work in the entire day, I was like, oh, but I'm grateful for my Starbucks latte I had today. But then sometimes I'll get like scared. I'll be like, you know, was I too sad for too long? Like, do all my friends hate me because I was too sad for too long and I was talking about myself for too long? And oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And I'll sit there and I'll just go, I'm grateful for this friend. Whoever I'm stressing about, I'll be like, I'm grateful for them. And just kind of think about all the good things. So yeah, I've been trying to shift my mindset a little bit.
That's smart. That's good. Yeah. Scientifically proven to make you a happier person.
Yeah. No, and I needed it. I needed to be a little more happy. So
very deep, in-depth answer to what you asked. But, you know, also I feel like my life has definitely changed due to that whole incident as well.
Yeah.
You know, I was always a really hard worker. I really was. But I feel like I'm looking for a balance now, mm-hmm. you know. I'm looking for a balance, and all of my endeavors really come under one idea, which I don't think I understood how important the idea really was until after. Do what makes you happy, because you really have no idea when your life is going to collapse.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, God forbid, when your life is not going to be here anymore. So I guess, you know, with this podcast, you know, it's kind of what we talk about. We talk about really, you know, really digging deep into yourselves. And, you know, while it's super fun to talk about all the fun things that we do and let's quip jokes, it's all about the motivation. Like, mm-hmm. why are you doing what you're doing? So yeah, it changed my entire life. Are you happy?
Are you asking me that?
Yes.
Oh gosh. Am I happy? Kind of.
Interesting. You can explain?
My like waves of going into hermit mode have always happened. I've like always struggled with depression, and yeah, I'm just mostly depression. In high school, I struggled with like anxiety with that too. I still sometimes do, but like my anxiety is not as bad as the like sadness part of me. But I feel like recently it has been like looking upwards. I think getting diagnosed for ADHD really helped, because I've like tried to go in for help multiple times throughout my life, because this has been going on since like, I don't know, early middle school. It's not like a foreign part. And I could always like still manage my life, because I would go through phases where I was like happy and like outgoing and stuff, and it would usually last for like a month or two where I'd be really depressed and like not want to go outside or whatever, but it would like always come back. So I was so confused, because I was like, what kind of depression is this? Like, what right. is going on? You said something really interesting earlier, like about how no one wants to be sad. I like don't think that's true.
Really?
I think a lot of people are like, I wouldn't say that they would want to be sad, but like are kind of like content with being sad.
Oh, this is actually an interesting idea that we can definitely talk about. Yeah. The idea of comfort.
Yeah.
Comfort in what you know.
Especially like if you don't. Have you watched Spider-Man?
Yes.
Yes. It's like that. If you like expect disappointment, you're not going to be disappointed. Just like that. Like if you expect to be sad, then when you're sad, it's like not like you were expecting that. But if you expect to be happy and then you're sad, like that shit sucks, you know?
Yeah.
But I think for a long time, it's not like that I wanted to be sad. It was definitely like there, kind of out of my control, but I wasn't like I wasn't like going after being happy either. Mm-hmm. I was just kind of like fine with leaving it as it was. But
do you feel like that's changed?
Yeah, definitely. I think like over quarantine, I did have moments of like happiness also, but I don't really know what exactly it was. I think maybe like being in a relationship with an actual sane person.
That helps.
But I was like, damn, like, it kind of sucks being sad all the time. And, like, it does affect the people around you. It affects your friends. And if you're in a relationship, like, it affects the other person. So, and also, like, why be sad all the time? So I had already, like, gone in to see, like, therapists before for depression. And they were always like, yes, you have depression. And I was like, okay, well, nobody's surprised by that. But with TikTok, the great thing was, like, it exposed me to a lot more, like, stuff in general. And one of the, I mean, I know people always make jokes about this, like, the thing that's like, do you do this? Then you have ADHD. And everyone is like, I have ADHD. I know everybody, like, makes fun of that. But after, like, I saw one of those TikToks, I, like, did a lot of research. And I was like, oh, my God, something is actually making sense. Like, the depression diagnosis never really made sense because usually it's, like, the same level of, like, depressiveness for a long time and then either, like, goes away or just stays like that. But mine was always, like, weird. It would be there but then come in weird waves. Yeah. I don't know. But when I was reading more about ADHD in girls, I was like, this, like, might be it. This might be it. This, we may have finally found what is causing this.
Yeah, having a diagnosis definitely helps.
It helps a lot, yeah.
To deal with it. Because personally, like, you know, I've never had a diagnosis, but when my friends have talked to me about when they received it, it just, like, makes them feel like they're less crazy.
Yeah. And also, like, once you know what you have, kind of, you can, like, now that I know it's ADHD, I can be, like, studying tactics for people with ADHD, and there are, like, actual helpful things for me, and I'm, like, why did I not think of that before? Like, oh, my God. But also, like, my family had always been so, my family and me, like, we had always been skeptical of, like, the depression diagnosis and, like, anxiety. I was like, I feel like there's something missing here. But when I got my, like, evaluation for ADHD, it was freaking long. At the end, this woman also, like, talked to my mom. Mm-hmm. And both of my parents were like, I've never seen them like this. Also, they were like, oh, holy shit. Like, that is exactly her. Like, how do you know her entire life story from, like, talking to her for 3 hours and just, like, asking her, like, math questions? Because she didn't, like, ask me about my life. She just did a bunch of, like, tests on me, and then at the end she was like, Sienna probably, like, did this, this, and this. And they were like, what the fuck? So I think that was definitely really helpful and has had me thinking more positively, especially now that, like, I feel like I just unlocked a whole, like, plethora of, like, methods and tactics for, like, actually managing my crazy self that, like, I didn't know how to manage before.
Wow. No, I always say, like with the pursuit of your diagnosis, but you are, like, pursuing a way for your life to make sense, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why I also say this one thing, that pursuing understanding is pursuing happiness. Because once you understand what's going on, you know, it makes it so, you kind of are, like, kind of relieved. And then it makes it so much easier to make your life so much more bearable than it is, right? And then it was interesting because I kind of thought of this when you were talking before about how, like, being happy or being sad influences a lot of your relationships. And I always thought of this thing that being happy is a selfless act. Mm-hmm. You know, it really is. Like, it sounds like the most, like, sometimes it's coming off as more of a selfish thing to do, but it's completely selfless, because if you're happy, it's not going to guarantee that everyone else is around you is going to feel happy, but at least they'll feel better when they're around you.
That's true.
You know, and I noticed because, you know, for the 2 or 3 months, like, I was just not a great person to be around, honestly. Mm-hmm. I didn't like being around myself, so I don't even know how my friends stood for it, frankly. Very confused. But the pursuit, that's why I tried. I was trying so hard. But I also was very,
it encouraged me when I saw that my friends around me were trying to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. They were trying to find a way to be happy. And it was like even the stupidest things, right? Like it would be like a night, like it would be like a month after everything happened. And we're sitting there and we're like, okay, like what do we want to eat? And we'd be like, I would say something like, I would say cacio e pepe. I literally ate like 16 orders of that in like 3 weeks. It was nuts. And the only place that was open was this like really expensive place. And I was like, shoot, I spent all my money on takeout. Like I can't. My friend was like, you know what? Fuck it. And just like put it all on his card. Wow. And it was really nice because like we just started doing things that like didn't make sense, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. But just because like it made us happy for the moment. So like one moment we're like, oh my God, like this buttery pasta is so good. So yeah, being happy is a completely selfless act, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. Thank you, Sienna.
Of course.
Welcome to Woodside Lane was co-created by Pooja Apana and Wyatt Sarkissian. Music by Sean Tyrese Avery and Milton Amparo. Presented by Apana LLC. I honestly have recorded this at least 10 times, trying to think of a perfect way to end this season. You know, trying to find words that encompass exactly how much this has changed my lives, and I know it has changed Wyatt's life. And all I can think about right now is my extreme gratitude to every person who came on my show, to my friends, to my family, to people I've never met before. I dedicate the show to you. And I hope you guys join me for season 2, because I hope to continue on this journey for pursuit of happiness. So yeah. Honestly, the best way to end the show is to say thank you. See you soon.